How y'all doing? I'm Buddy, alcoholic. I feel like a cripple, man, walking with his leg, man. I'm not used to having heels on a shoe, man. It's a trip, boy. Man, give me the softball field any day. No. Man, I love this fellowship, man. I love seeing you guys. Every time I come here, it brings back memories, man. You know, it brings me back when I was a kid, you know. And one thing we know how to do is get wasted, you know what I mean? That's what I love about, you know, I don't worry about all that stuff, man, because we can all relate to this stuff, man. And I feel so fortunate to be here, be alive, actually. Of course, there was a time when I didn't want to live. I was trying to die. I didn't have the guts to put the gun in my head. But typical story, you know, I felt different, you know, going, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you darn near recorded this stuff, you know. But, you know, it was, you know, and then going back and seeing you guys, it brings me back to where, you know, when I was a kid, you know, that feeling of insecurity, man, you know, and it's like scared to death and not knowing what was going on. But boy, the first time we get loaded, man, that was it. All of a sudden, life began. It was like, wow, I cut up with the guys in jail and detox center. Man, I had my first spiritual experience when I got off, man. First time I got loaded, I found God. And I wanted to stay spiritual 24/7, you know. That's what's so cool about this fellowship, you know, because we come in here, you know, and it's a spiritual, you know, they call it a spiritual program, you know, spiritual fellowship and everything, you know. But yeah, it was on. And you know, I remember you know, being with you guys in here. I can remember being in school, man, and I can kind of remember probably eighth, ninth grade or something, man. I was in all these enriched classes. I was out in Texas with my old man. My folks had divorced, and all of a sudden I started coming up. I think I'd done algebra one, geometry. I think geometry was probably the subject was messing with me, man. You know what? I was struggling, boy. You know, and man, I'd come home. I'd be trying to work real hard. I'd come home, man. I'd make a 95. Boy, I'd be so happy. I'd come home and want the old man to be proud of me, right? Look, Dad, I made a 95. He says, that's good, son, but you should have made 100, you know? It was like, man, you know, it was like demoralized, man. You know, I never could please that son of a gun, man, you know, in my head, you know? But, It was tough, and I kind of remember. Yeah, it comes back all the time, you know. It's funny though. Later on in life, I got a half brother and a half sister from both my mom and dad, so I got one down in Miami, two down in Miami. Anyway, and my brother and sister out in Texas, that side of the family, they're all smart. They went to 4 years of college and stuff. I'm amazed at you guys that went to college and everything, man, because that was not my thing. I did not want to use my brain, man. That's why I got loaded. I did not want to think, man. But anyway, I found out later from my life, from my sister getting older, you know, she said that I was telling her, when I got a chance to meet her later on when I saw her later on in life, I got a chance to talk to her, and it was funny because she said that she always felt like she was to blame for my sister and I leaving. You know, I got kicked out of house when I was 15 years old because, you know, I wanted to get loaded and stuff. And I said, no, you know, and I explained to her what I just told you all about the old man, this and that, and that insecure. And she says, yeah, he did the same thing to her. It just made her try harder. You know, so it was like, it was pretty cool, you know. So it was that inside job that I've got, you know, that we hear all the time, you know, and that being different, you know, page 30, I'm bodily and mentally different from my fellows, you know. But anyway, I quit school a couple times, getting loaded, you know, typical this and that, and I ended up, I quit school a couple times. I moved back down to the Keys to finish up the 11th grade, and my grandpa lived down there. I grew up there when I was a little kid, and I was fortunate that my grandfather was in AA. He was one of the originals down there in the Keys, and I got a chance to see the way him and my grandmother lived. But I moved down there and the party was on because for some reason, and I see it today, I always tell people that my dad gave me tough love because he didn't play. You know, you obey the rules or you suffer the consequences. And I did, you know, he did not play. It wasn't none of this. You made a mistake. You're done. You know, you're out the house. And then I went down to the Keys. And, of course, I was going to school. The party was on. I was partying every day. I was lucky to, you know, party, went to school and everything. And I say my grandparents gave me unconditional love. But as I've gotten older today, I know they both gave me unconditional love. It was just different. I needed both. You know, it's like we're in this fellowship. You know, we all need a kick in the rear end, and we all need a pat on the back, you know. And when do we need which, you know, who knows, you know. But I don't like the kick in the rear end, you know. I'd rather not get that one, you know. I'd rather be pat on the back. We'll feel better, you know. But anyway, I finished up the 11th grade, and a buddy of mine and I were going to go up to North Carolina. We grew up in Isle Mirada down in the Keys. And we're going to go to North Carolina, and we're going to party. We're going to show those hillbillies how those Florida people know how to party, right? So we go up there to North Carolina. We get this place to stay, get this job, and we go out Sunday night to the bar, you know, because then we're gonna start work Monday, you know. Of course, we want to meet some girls, you know, and party and all, you know. We go there, the place was dead, no females, nothing. We drank a pitcher of beer, and we leave, and the cops are waiting and pull my buddy over. We get a DUI, or he did, you know. I'm pretty sure. I don't think he had arrested. I think it's the same as it is here. But anyway, my uncle lived up in Maggie Valley. We were in Waynesville about 10 minutes away, and I called him up on the phone, you know, hey, can you get my buddy out of jail and everything, you know? And he said, yeah, you know, you're not going to get away with this without a preaching. Well, I knew what was coming, you know. My grandma used to preach scripture to me and stuff when I was a kid, you know. My grandpa did the AA thing. He didn't say nothing, boy. He didn't have to say. He just walked it. My grandma was always preaching the scriptures and stuff, so I knew it was coming, you know. And we go over to the house. They picks us up. It's Sunday night, and the preacher's there. Some folks from the church and everything are there, and we're sitting down on the couch, you know. Next thing you know, man, the preacher comes up, and he puts his hands on my buddy, and he prays a salvation message for my buddy. All of a sudden, man, my buddy starts shaking and crying, and my buddy's getting off. You know what I'm saying? Dang, man. Man, you know, and I said, I love to get loaded, man. I said, darn, you know, I'm thinking, I'm next, you know. Comes up to me, and the preacher puts his hands on me, and I'm waiting to go to the moon, and nothing happened, man. I got robbed, but, I mean, that's the way I felt, man, really, because, you know, I want to feel something, you know. That's why I drank and got loaded, you know. I wanted to feel something. But that was my first eye-opener, first observation of this spiritual way of living, you know, that we talk about in this fellowship, you know. And I got to see it firsthand. And I think in the book they call it like the sudden ones or something like that, the light or whatever, because something definitely happened to my buddy, boy. And so that was my first time of trying to get sober, man. And we didn't get to party that summer, man. Plans change, you know. My buddy gets a spiritual experience, man, you know. So now, you know, now I'm trying to stay sober. I'm trying to do what we do in here, you know. And the only difference was that I was doing it in the church, you know. And it was a little more complicated for me. It was different. You know, but it was cool. You know, we made it through the summer, and now I got to go back down to the Keys. Well, so I'm thinking, man, I can't go back down to the Keys where all my buddies and stuff are, you know. So that's when I decided to move here to Tampa, my first geographical cure I can remember, you know. And but I moved here to Tampa, and I was living across the street from Plant there by the Steak and Shake. And this was like 76, I think, or something like that. Anyway, so I'm going to finish up the 12th grade, man. And I'm living with my cousin. And I'm going to church, man. And I'm going to the youth groups. I'm going to the Bible studies, you know. I'm trying to get this thing, man. I'm trying to turn my life around. And the folks in the church, you know, the young kids, you know, they had grown up in the church their whole life and everything, you know. And they took me into their fellowship, you know. Like, we got our fellowship, you know, and they had the fellowship. And they took me in. They told me, buddy, don't worry about it, man. God loves you. God forgives you and everything, you know. And I was doing it. But, man, I felt different, man. I just felt out of place, man. I felt like a heathen, man. You know, it was like, man, I'm going, you know, and all of a sudden now you got to go out with a girl. You just don't try to go to bed the first night. You know, you got to hold hands, do the courtship deal, no sex before marriage, you know, and all this stuff. And it was like, But apparently that's, you know, what the Bible or whatever thing said that we were supposed to do, and you know, and so I'm doing it, man. And you talk about scared, man. You know, now you got nothing to give me no courage, man. You talk, man, it was freaky, but it was I was doing it, man, you know, and we were doing what you guys do, man. Y'all go and you do fun stuff, man. We do it sober, you know, and so I was doing it in the church, you know, but I still felt different. One day I was in the school, and about a couple months to graduate, and all of a sudden I meet this dude, man. And all of a sudden I meet this dude like me, man. He'd been sober for 30 days, party like me, love women, got loaded. And all of a sudden, man, I finally met somebody that's in this spiritual deal trying to turn his life around. And that was like me, you know, and we're talking and everything, you know, and it was great, man, you know, and next thing you know, I'm telling my buddy what had happened up there to my friend up in North Carolina. Yeah, we need to go up North Carolina, you know, get this magical experience up there. And my buddy comes up with a brainstorm. He says, yeah, we need to get a bag of pot for the trip. And that they talk about, we talk that first drink, man. That particular time, that first drink was a bag of pot. It was that Gainesville green with that goop all over it. And I'm living with some folks in the church. I got ripped, man. All of a sudden, oh my God, all of that pressure that I felt, man, in church, man, it was gone, man. Woo, man, I felt, oh my gosh, you do not, man, the relief was gone, you know, for about 15 minutes. Then all of a sudden, that doggone guilt and that, oh my gosh, man, you know, because the church that I was going to, and don't get me wrong, because this is just the things that happened to me. That's what I love about our fellowship, you know. It you know, it doesn't matter whatever this thing is, however we can get this thing, this contact with this power or whatever. But this was a Pentecostal church, man. These folks are praying in tongues. They're hooting and hollering, and they're wada-wada in church, and they're dancing. You know, and that stuff appealed to me. You know, we have this thing in here that says, you know, if you want what we have, you know what I mean? Them people were happy, man. And they definitely weren't waking up in the gutter like I was, you know. And there was a lot of... I guess rules or regulations and stuff are different ideas, you know, kind of like we come in at AA, you know, some people, man, you got to do this step, you got to be on, you know, all this different stuff that, you know, that people have or to do and everything. And the magic word perception, I'm hearing all these words like I know stuff, but I think I understand that, my perception of what was going on. And, it was tough because, I'd go to church, okay, and get up there, you know, and you know, if you got this thing that I got, this alcoholism, man, without anything, you know, I got to depend upon this spirit, God, or whatever, right? Now, I'm going to church, I'm trying to depend upon this thing, right? So I'm dependent upon that preacher up there, right? I go to church, man, preacher gets up there, he says, yeah, man, once saved, always saved, right? You know, he says, oh, yeah, brother, you can never lose your salvation, right? You know, and he got a bunch of scriptures to back up what he says. Oh, man, I'm cool, right? Because I'm scared to death, man. I'm wanting to live forever, you know what I mean? You know, and next thing you know, a month and a half later, boy, preacher get up there and say, oh, no, brother, you can lose your salvation. I will spew you out of my mouth, you know? And they got a bunch of scriptures to back up what they says. Next thing you know, I'm scared to death. You know, which one of these guys is right, you know? Am I going to heaven or am I going to hell? You know, I didn't know, man, you know? And I'm trying to do this deal, boy. But once I took that first drink through that pot, man, that was it, boy. But then after 15 minutes, you know, then the guilt and all that stuff started coming in on me, man. And it was like, oh, my gosh, man. And y'all know the only way to get rid of that is you got to get loaded. you got to keep getting more loaded to shut that doggone voice up, you know. Because here I had experience, you know. It's like we come into AA or whatever. Maybe you get a little bit of time or something, you know what I mean? We go back out, man. It is hard to walk back through these doors, man, you know. And it was a trip, and I was off to the races again. I was living with some folks in the church, you know, and I couldn't deal with the guilt, you know, and I ended up off to the... I barely finished school, man. And uh, I uh, I was lucky. I my old man taught me work ethic and stuff, you know. And of course, I mowed yards and cut trees my whole life. Once I found out I could do that, man, I could make a bunch of money, man, you know what I mean? And I didn't have to use my brain, man. That was the easiest thing in the world, man. I loved it, you know. Plus, you know, the customers love me, too. You know, you work for all these rich folks, you know what I mean? And, oh, buddy, you do such a nice job, you know, and all. But it was great, but that was probably a little bit later on, because in the beginning I was still getting loaded, you know, and trying to get sober, man. I couldn't get sober. And I was with this buddy of mine, and they had a little trim store across the street by the high school there, and walked into the school, man. There was this beautiful girl in there, man. I said, dang, who's that? She said, oh, she kind of likes you, man. She's straight. Well, I would say straight. Straight's a different word now, but back then, man, you didn't get loaded. She didn't get loaded, okay? So I said, man, he says, yeah, go ahead, go out, ask her out, right? So, you know, I ask her out, you know, and everything. Boom, yeah, man, we go out and all. And, you know, and so, man, so now I got a new higher power, right? Because I got a new goal. This, and looking back on it, I didn't see it at the time, but this female was going to help me stay sober because she didn't get loaded, you know? It was kind of like my parents, you know? And at first, it was just great because, man, I spent all my time with her. Oh, my gosh, we had everything. 6 months later, I'm married. And boom, you know. So I'm going to go back down to the Keys and work down. And my grandparents had a store down there in Alamorada. And so I'm going to go back down there. And, man, we go back down there. And, oh, it was great, you know. It was beautiful down there to see my grandparents working in the store. 6 months into the thing, ran across a buddy of mine. And we snuck off and had a few. And, man, I set the monster loose again, man. This alcoholism thing is unreal. I'm glad we can laugh about it today, boy, but this thing don't play. I cut up and have a good time, man, but whoo, this thing is something else. And and I'd come home and I'd try to hide it, you know. I don't know if they got that stuff anymore, the Visine or whatever, you know. You're all tore up, you know what I mean? You want to go home and you don't want to get busted, right? So you put that Visine in your eyes and you can get the red out, but I couldn't get my eyes to open, you know what I mean? They'd be all clear, you know, so I'd try to walk in the house and act like I'm not getting loaded, you know, and I must have had this goofy look because I'd try to walk in like I'm, and she, I got busted every time, you know, and she, you've been getting loaded, you know, and I'm, oh, you know, first trying to hide it, next thing you know, boom, she leaves, moves back up to Tampa, and typical male ego, I don't need that B-I-T-C-A. I can get loaded, man, you know what I mean? The party's on, man, you know? So a couple months later, old buddy's singing a different tune. Oh, baby, I love you. I'm sorry. Please take me back. I'll never do it again, you know? And I think I meant it, you know? God, you know, we come in here, honesty, this and that. I hope, you know. Anyway, I ended up tail between my legs. I'm coming back to my higher power, man. You know what I mean? I'm going to stay sober, man, you know. And I couldn't do it, man. I couldn't. In and out, in and out. By now, I got a couple of kids. Got a little boy and a little girl. And that's when I ended up getting into AA over 30 years ago, probably 79 or 80. And that's when I first, my grandpa took me to AA. I didn't realize I was going to AA when I was a little kid, man, in the Keys, man. We'd go to these meetings when I was 6 years old, picking up these drunks down in the Keys. I didn't realize. I just knew they stunk. All I remember was we went to this church, and my grandmother would take us to wherever she, looking back, it was Al-Anon. You know, my grandma was in Al-Anon and all. And then all I remember is when I was a little six-year-old, we get to go to ice cream every night afterwards, the meeting after the meeting, as we know, right, you know? But anyway, so I'm going to AA, man, and I'm doing pretty good, man. You know, got a sponsor. I used to, all the old time, I'm glad some of them guys are still alive today, man, you know, and when I was fortunate enough to make it back. But I ended up getting my first year of sobriety. And I was young like you guys, man. I was going to 33-33, man. And I would, you know, go to the meetings. You know how we do, you know, we're all messed up, man. We're in a relationship. We're trying to live life like normal people, you know, but we're all messed up, you know. And I come in and I'm doing good, man. Oh, my business is picking up. I'm making money, bought a house, blah, 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 you know. And the one person that I wanted to love and appreciate me the most, man, was my wife, man, you know. And I'd come home, you know, and she'd be nagging and complaining about this, that, and the other. The old-timer said, buddy, don't worry about her, man. You stay sober for you, man. She'll come around. You got to do this thing for you. And I did, you know, and I'm doing it, you know. And one day I came home, and she was nagging about something, you know, and my dumb brain says, what are you staying sober for? And I went out, picked up a drink. I lost my marriage. It's not funny, you know. I can't help laughing about it now. But, you know, I lost my business, lost my I mean, the story of my life. I lose it all, you know. And one thing that happened, I was, you know, I got a couple of kids now. And I didn't want my kids to have to go through a divorce like I went through, you know. And I went to this thing. You know how we got all these spiritual weekends, man. I got these men's retreats, women's retreats, and all that stuff. You know, it's really cool. They had this one spiritual thing. It was through the church, and it was called Couples United in Christ. Okay? And it was supposedly this spiritual, biblical application of what a marriage is supposed to be, right? You know, because I'm doing good, I'm staying sober, but I'm gonna marry, man. This thing ain't working, man. It ain't going my way, really. So I go to this weekend, right? And I'm going to this thing, and the husbands and the wives go, and the preacher and the preacher's wife is there, and everything, you know. And so we go there and all, And we're going, right? And the preacher takes the men aside and the women, you know, the whole time, you know how we are in AA. I know how I am in AA, you know, because I don't think I got the problem, you know. I'm thinking, boy, I sure hope she hears the part about being submissive and I'm the king, you know what I mean? Because I'm thinking she's the one that's got the problem, not me, you know. I mean, I'm doing so good. And the preacher gets up there and tells my doggone story. He says, guys, he says, we're like conquerors. We see this fine looking thing that we want, man, right? And we go out with her, we take her out to dinner, we buy her flowers, we go to the movies with her, we spend all our time with her, da da da. Then we get married and we go, ooh, I got her now, I can go back to being myself. And boom, the doggone buzzer went off. And he says, all of a sudden, the woman looks around and says, what the heck happened to the guy that wanted to go to the mall? And spend, I hate the mall. Go to the mall with your friends. I want to watch football. You know? You got to be out your mind. I don't want to do none of that stuff, you know? And man, it didn't save my marriage, but it was a heck of an eye-opener. You know? But that was the first time. You know how we have our steps? I think it's the fourth and fifth step. Something to, when we start getting a chance to look at ourselves and our part in things and everything. And that was the first time I got a chance to look at my part. But, man, when I'm young, you know, I still cannot see past what she's doing to me. You know, I could not see that. You know, I always want to point the stuff out that she's doing wrong. I don't want to look at me, you know. I never, you know, and... I ended up I'm really trying to stay sober. I ended up getting a year and a half, and something happened, and I'm staying sober for myself. And I'd gotten loaded in between, in and out, man, you know. And then I finally, I had a period where I was sober, got sober for myself. Or I thought I got sober for myself. All, you know, who knows? We got all these magical things that we think we know what these answers are. Get this stuff, you know. I have no clue, but I was staying sober. And there's a few things that I've learned in AA that that have really helped me. And I watched it in my grandfather. That stuff was drilled into my head growing up. And some of the things like acceptance is the key to all my problems, and not having any expectations. And one thing that's so cool about AA is when you come into the rooms and you start hearing people admit stuff and talk about stuff, man, all of a sudden, all the stuff that I had wrapped up in my head, you know, and that I stayed loaded for that I didn't want to face, and I hear other people getting honest and all, you know. I'm doing good, and I'm recognizing, man, I'm doing good, man. I'm probably about a year and a half into something like that. I'm sober, and this other thing with this thing is, I realize this thing with the women, man. You know, it's not the women's fault; it's me. But for some reason, every time I get in a relationship, I do the same thing. I want to make that woman think. I want to impress. You know, it's just like, man. You know, I want to be loved, appreciated. Like, you know, and so I I started treating women like the first drink, man. I didn't want, and it wasn't a woman's fault. It was me, because every time I'd go back, what they say, do the same thing, getting the same results, you know. And that's what would happen, you know. First 9 months, you know, it'd be good for however long it'd be. You know, we're going to be real unselfish, being, you know. And then after a while, man, it's the same thing. As I look at how I am today, I'm a selfish, self-centered son of a gun. I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it. And, man, I give a lot of credit to people that live together. Man, especially to, oh, my gosh. That is the ultimate place of trying to practice this unselfishness thing, you know, that we're trying to do, and trying to be a better person. Living with somebody else is unreal. So I'm going to stay single. I'm going to have sex with myself the rest of my life before I ever, ever get in another relationship with a woman, you know. Then I ain't got to worry about talking. You're not meeting my need and all this stuff. You know, and it's like, man, I am doing great. No way I'm ever going to get another relationship again. Man. And all of a sudden, my buddy that I told you, and I've known him for a while, and he's coming over to the house. He's dating this girl, and he's trying to get me. We're playing music and stuff, and I'm sober. I'd already bought another house. I'm living by myself, man, and I'm doing this deal. I'm staying sober, And he comes over to the house and wants me to go out with this girl, you know. Man, that girl's sister. Man, I don't want nothing to do with no females, you know. And he ended up breaking up with this girl, you know. And my dumb brain, man, you know, I says, man, God, she was sweet, man. I said, man, y'all done dating and everything, you know. And she, yeah, you know. As I'm thinking, because this gal was like my grandmother, you know, and she was sweet as she could be. I watched the way they were and everything, you know. And my dumb brain, man. You know how quick we forget, you know what I mean? I love that page. I think it's 24 or 25. Some of an alcoholic's brain cannot forget. Can't bring to sufficient force with his brain the pain and suffering that he went through a week or days before, you know. And that comes out in so many different areas of my life. But anyway, so I he said, yeah, go for it. Go ask her out, you know. And so I did. Now I'm sober probably a year and a half, and I'm scared to death again, man. I am, you know, we get it. When I'm in this AA thing, and I'm in touch, and I'm trying to get better, and I'm trying to do good, man, I'm into this thing. And so I'm staying sober for me, man, you know. And I asked this girl out, you know. I'm scared to death, and we go out. I know she always laughs at me. She says, boy, the first time we kissed, you know, we went out the first night, she, you were shaking. I said, man, you can't kiss. She says, oh, man, I was scared to death, man. I'm like a little kid, man. To this day, I'm scared to death, man. I'd rather fight Muhammad Ali than do some of this stuff they want us to do in AA, man, you know. You go shake somebody's hand that I don't know. You got to be kidding me, man, you know. But, Anyway, so we go out, man. I found out about 6 months or a year ago that it was a month later I was married. I thought it was about 6 months, you know, and I'm doing good, man. I'm doing really good. I'm working, and all the promises that we've got in here come true, man. And man, for you guys, man, you know, and y'all, I'm sure you know the people that are around, man. We start doing this deal, man, and good things start happening, man, and it did. I got my grandfather sponsors this guy. He was my sponsor, and I got all my accounts here. I'm working a week here. I'm working a week down in the Keys. I got a boat here. I got a boat down in the Keys. I got my commercial fishing license. I'm climbing the ladder of success or whatever. I'm seeing my kids. All this stuff, man. It's just going great. And my wife had asked me, you know, when we got married, you know, she said, well, you know, because she knew I didn't want, you know, I was in AA, I wasn't getting loaded or nothing. I could do, you know, that thing in the books is we can go anywhere, do anything, you know, and I wasn't getting loaded. She said, well, what happens to you when you get loaded? And I said, well, you know, I kind of stay in person. I just kind of go in a little self-destruct mode, you know. And one day, I was coming up on about 3 years of sobriety, and I don't know what happened. Can't, you know, that part in the book, man, with a guy drinking milk one day, you know. Oh, I don't think I can mix whiskey with his milk and it won't hurt me, you know. Another trip to the asylum, you know. And one day, I think I'd been to a meeting the day before or whatever. And I went into the 7-Eleven, man. I grabbed a quart of beer, man, took a sip of that beer. And it was first, it was like, oh, my gosh, what'd you just do, you know. And the next thing you know, boom, it was on, man. And I went through the ringer, man. I lost my leg in 98. Man, just so many things, man. All the negative stuff, you know, that happens to us. And I could not get sober, man. I was in and out of the detoxes, in and out of jail. And I told my wife she might as well leave me, man. This woman stayed with me, man, and she was the complete opposite of my first wife. She never said a thing to me, man, you know. And here I got the sweetest, got everything I wanted, man. I couldn't get sober, man, you know. And I had been to them healing lines, you know. God, you don't know how many times, man, I'd go to church, man, get me delivered, man, you know. Everybody else be flopping on the floor around me. I'm the only one standing up, man, you know. I want to be delivered. I want to get rid of this alcoholism thing, man, you know. And we come into AA, you know what I mean? And yeah, just do the steps. You know, it's like it's so easy, you know what I mean? And it was like, man, I couldn't. I'd come in, go into the detoxes, man, and I tell them, yes, man, I live in the detoxes. I prefer to be in the detoxes, in the jails, in the prisons, man. And that's I hope that I don't ever forget that first step, man. But I ended up, I was drinking to die, man. I didn't have the guts to put the gun in my head. I already lost my leg. I'm drinking a quart of vodka a day, just to die, man. I didn't have the guts to put the gun in my head. I got a doggone beard down to here, hair down to my rear end. 250 pounds, and couldn't get sober. And was going down to visit my mom down in the Keys, down in Miami, and I got sick going across, and I'm laying on the floor going through the withdrawals for a few days. My step pop was alive at the time. My mom left. She thought I was going to die. And something came over me. I said, man, you know, you need to get your stuff together, you know. I ain't got enough fingers and toes, especially now I'd lose my leg. Number of times, man, that I've done, you know, trying to get sober, man. And I had some crackers and cheese, got up, hadn't eaten in days, and ended up driving back up here to Tampa. And I'm sober for 3 weeks, man. I'm doing this deal. I had cable at the time. I'm watching Sports Center over and over and over. My wife's working, you know. And after about 3 weeks, I ended up, the thought came to my brain, man, boy, I'd like to have a drink. And we use the word the grace of God in this fellowship. I don't understand it, you know, but that's the word we use. Because I remember I used to, you know, go to church or go to places, you know, and it seemed like everybody else is getting this grace, man. You know, I'm got to be honest, got to be willing. Well, I'm willing as I can be. You know, I'm honest as I can be. I don't want to hurt no more. You know what I mean? And come in, you know, and can't seem to get it. Couldn't seem to get it. And I see people today now, you know, and so I understand the fortunate, the gift, as they say, I guess, of sobriety. And I ended up, my next thought, instead of going to get that drink, was, buddy, you need to get your butt back into AA. And I did. It just so happens I live on the other side of Kennedy. I used to hop over there to get my quarts of vodka. And I'd come back to, and then there's a little club on the other side of Kennedy called Yana, man. I started going to the 6:30 meeting, the 12 o'clock meeting, the 5:45. Got a sponsor, went through the steps again like I've gone through them doggone steps 50 million times, you know. You know, and I'm doing great, man. 6 months into the deal, my sponsor's chairing the meeting at Yana. There's a bunch of people in there, you know, and all of a sudden I'm tripping, man. I've been sober for 6 months, and my brain telling me, man, what are you doing, buddy? You know, you get years of sobriety, and you're blowing it. You're going to blow it again, you know? And, you know, and I'm tripping. They're starting to talk about meditation and stuff, and I'm looking up at the steps on the wall and everything. I'm saying, man, you know, the first one, I forgot the first step, you know? And then they were talking about meditation and Buddha, this, that, and the other. All I know is I'm tripping, man. My brain, I'm tripping, man. And I leave the meeting. My sponsor's chairing me, and I go home, man, and I walk home, you know, and I pick up the phone. You know, we pass these little things around. Somebody new comes in, everyone puts their name on there. You know, call us when you want to drink. Man, I ain't calling nobody. When I want to go get loaded, I'm going to get loaded. I ain't calling nobody. But this particular time, you know, I didn't want to get loaded, right? You know, and I know what that little piece of paper means. You know what I mean? This just so happens. I go home and I pay up the phone. I go, I'm calling my sponsor. I don't want to drink and I don't want to kill myself. Boom. And I start pacing the floor, man. I'm, you know, and next thing you know, he calls me back after the meeting's over. He said, all right, get a piece of paper and start writing. So I'm writing, and I'm writing all this stuff, you know what I mean? Next thing you know, I call him back. I said, I'm writing, and nothing's happening, you know. And he says, all right, we'll start breathing. And then the second miracle happened. That's the only thing I know. I'm going to call it awareness or something, you know, as we get these little awarenesses. And basically what I found out was that I had been lying to God my whole life. And it was about how do I say this without, I don't want to offend anybody, but it's just my story and it has nothing to do with, but what happened to me was that growing up, my grandmother would preach scriptures to me and stuff, and it was all about Jesus, you know. And as a kid, you know, when I was a kid and innocent and everything, I wanted to live forever, you know. Who's the cartoon character? I want to be that cartoon character to live forever, right? Well, that's what the Jesus message offered me. You don't want to live forever, you know? And so I better believe in Jesus. But as a kid, I would ask my uncle, I would say, Johnny, I don't understand this thing, man. The Indians are trying to worship the Great Spirit, man. You know, they don't know how to read. They ain't never had a Bible in their life. And that means they're going to hell because they can't read. And like, all I know as a little kid was I didn't believe in John 3:16. I'm doomed, man. And I guess what happened was I had got that awareness because every time I'd come into AA, right, and I had my grandpa in AA, my grandmother used to preach these scriptures, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all that, you know, and I kind of correlate that to the thing that we say in here, keep recovery number one, you know, and if we're doing that, it's kind of the same thing because if we're doing that, then we're doing the right thing because we're trying to not be selfish and we're thinking of others and we're not thinking about ourselves and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, but I didn't know that at the time, you know, it was tough, man. I had finally got this awareness that basically what I was doing was I was lying to God because I'd come into AA and I'd look at the steps up on the wall and they'd talk about, you know, the first three steps. I used to, you know, thinking I'm so smart. I said, yeah, y'all believe the doorknob if you want, but I know it's Jesus, you know. Well, bottom line, I found out later I didn't really buy that. I didn't really, because it reminded me as a little kid that didn't seem fair. And then all of a sudden, all the stuff that I'd been hearing in AA my whole life, the walk that my grandfather did, you know, I got that awareness that, man, it don't matter, man. We come into here, it don't matter, man. You know, and thankful for everything I've been through, all that stuff, man, you know, going to church, man, and trying to, you know, and trying to live the right way and everything. And it's no difference than there and in here. It's just not because I see my dad do it. I see other people do it. Man, they can read scriptures, and it gives them power, and they know how to, man, that stuff freaks me out. Every time y'all have the meeting over there in the sanctuary, I get waiting to get zapped every time I walk in there. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, man. But yeah, and I got that freedom, you know. And it's, you know, just that blessing and that miracle that I've gotten, and I don't have to worry. You know, I had trouble with that, man. I really did every time I got sober and going to church and things didn't seem fair, you know, and all. And it didn't make sense. Man, if you didn't believe in the blood of Jesus, you're going to hell. And Jehovah's Witness, you know, and it was like, man, this is a cult, you know. It's a cult, right? You know, yeah, you know. And it was freaky, man, you know. And them first three steps, I used to always say, come in, you know, when I'd go to church or whatever. And me think, them first three steps are the same thing as everybody when they go in front of the altar to bring this thing. You know, the only difference is we got 12 steps for everything now, right? You know what I mean? Except we do AA, right, for alcohol. But we put whatever you want in. Came to believe that a power greater than yourself, okay, and then made a decision to turn our will and life over. Every time I made that altar call, and I'm going up there to church, man, to get delivered, man, I'm pouring. Everybody's pouring something, pornography, this, that, or the other. Whatever's bothering, they're bringing it up to the altar. That's the first three steps. And, you know, the only difference was it was Jesus and all. And so, you know, the steps are, for me anyway, that was the freedom that I got. Finally, I understood what they meant. And so I don't understand, and I don't have to anymore, thank God, because something in my brain now, you know, the simplicity of this thing, because one thing I know how to do is get loaded, you know, and screw up my life, man. You know, that's what I love about this fellowship, man, because... And the simplicity of this thing, man, because I'm trying to really keep this thing simple. I feel fortunate I got a chance to run across, I was funny thinking about others, you know, and my son had been locked up and he was coming out and I hadn't been locked up in a while. He and I used to get loaded together and I'm thinking, man, you know, I hadn't been locked up in a while and saw this thing about jails and institutions, you know, and then I hooked up with my buddy Dick and started doing this deal and all of a sudden, man, this is what I've been missing my whole life, man, because... I think about the guys in the old days, you know, and think about myself, my experience. Having this spiritual experience that I had, or having this awareness that this spiritual way of living, that's great, you know. That's what we do. That's what we're doing fellowship in here, right? But I always forget the first step, you know. And y'all that know me, man, this is the most uncomfortable thing in the world for me, man, you know, dressing up, you know. And that's why today I live in the detoxes and the jails. Those are my favorite meetings, man. And that's pretty much where I like to live because I always forget the first step, man. You know, life gets good and I forget, man. I need to see him because I forget that I'm waking up in the morning puking blood, man. Puking, shaking, trying to get a shot of vodka down so I can stop shaking, so I can find a vein, so I can get a shot of dope, so I can function and be normal, man. You know, just to make it. There's part of my dumb brain that thinks that was fun, man. You know, I'm laughing and everything, you know what I mean? And that's the insanity of this thing, you know? And thank God there's those little disclaimers in our book, you know? They had them, they got them all through the Bible, man, you know? And they had them, you know, they have many. I love the one, you spot it, you got it, you know what I mean? And today, all the steps are pretty much wrapped up into three things for me today, man. The first step, number one, and I do that on a daily basis. Got to go to detox today. Went to the prison last night. I'm going to jail tomorrow. Going to Manatee Jail Saturday. Going to the man, and that's okay. And then the other one is try to treat other people the way I want to be treated. And try to stay out of the judgment seat. And if I'm doing those two things, man, then but that's a tall order because my brain is geared to blame my wife, you know. I laugh and cut up, you know, that sweet lady, you know, we just celebrated 19 years in June, and she just left. Her mom died Labor Day, you know, and she just left today, and I was fortunate enough to be able to just kind of be there to support her and stuff through this fellowship to help me to keep my mouth shut, you know, because I still in that relationship. Man, you guys that are in relationships, man, I feel for you because, man, you know, living with somebody else with this affliction is un-freaking real. It's unreal. You know, my hero is my buddy paratrooper Larry, man. He's got this girl. He's got his house, and she's got her house. And that is the ultimate because, you know, I if it wasn't for my wife being so selfish and so understanding of me, man, and I catch myself, she doesn't say nothing. She never said nothing to me. I catch myself wanting to tell her what to do, man. And that's the hardest place for me to practice this thing is at home, man. Practice this unselfishness thing, man. So that's my biggest biggest one, you know. I laugh, I cut up, go with my buddy Jim up to the Zephyr Hills, you know, we're laughing, you know, we come up, you know, this AA thing, you know, we're going out, you know, pick up a drunk, he'll puke all over the car, man, don't worry about it, man, we all right, you know, we're out all day long, right, come home after a long day, come home, wife says, hey, baby, would you go get some milk? I go, you mean like right now? are you really, you know, what is it with that, you know what I mean, instead of going, yeah, baby. You know, I do it with a drunk, man. I'm trying so hard to learn how to practice this and be sweeter at home. That's the hardest thing for me, man. But man, I love you guys, man. And this is an awesome fellowship, man. I'm thankful that y'all came. This is so cool. It brings me back, man. I don't want to forget that first step. But thank God we get to have a blast in sobriety. We get to laugh about that stuff, man. And I'm done. Thanks.
I'm Lori Ashley, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Lori.
Dr. Bob's last message. I can't see that either. Okay. I get a big thrill out of looking over a vast sea of faces like this. Wow. Like this, with a feeling that possibly some small thing I did a number of years ago played an infinitely small part in making this meeting possible. I also get quite a thrill when I think that we all had the same problem. We all did the same things. We all get the same results in proportion to our zeal and enthusiasm and stick-to-itiveness. If you will pardon the injection of a personal note at this time, let me say that I have been in bed 5 of the last 7 months, and my strength has not returned as I would like, so my remarks of necessity will be very brief. But there are two or three things that flashed into my mind on which it would be, fitting to lay a little emphasis. One is the simplicity of our program. Let's not louse it all up with Freudian complexes and things that are interesting to the scientific mind, but have very little to do with our actual AA work. Our 12 steps, when simmered down to the last, resolve themselves into the words, love and service. We understand what love is and we understand what service is, so let's bear those two things in mind. Let us also remember to guard that erring member of the tongue. And if we must use it, let's use it with kindness and consideration and tolerance. And one more thing. None of us would be here today if somebody hadn't taken the time to explain things to us, to give us a little pat on the back, to take us to a meeting or two, to have done numerous little kind and thoughtful acts on our behalf. So let us never get the degree of smug complacency that so that we're not willing to extend or attempt to that help, which has been so beneficial to us. To our less fortunate brothers, thank you very much.